Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
All right. It is everybody's favorite time of the week.
Woo!
We are back with another episode. I think this is episode 14 of the season.
14? Are you serious?
Yeah, we've cranking them out. Maybe yeah. 13.
Okay.
I don't.
Totally math is remember. Hard.
But yeah, 13 or 14, and man, we are excited to be here. We are not in studio. We no. are together. We're down in the, what did we call this last
I
time?
I think it's the dog kennel.
The dog kennel, yeah.
Yep, the dog
down
kennel.
In the dog kennel.
Yep.
We had a late night ahead of us. We had some busy evenings here, but we knew we needed to get in here and get this thing done. So we figured, hey, let's take this thing on the road, make this thing nice and convenient. And sometimes, you know, when your partner needs you to come and bring it and, you know, get mobile and bring this bad boy to his house, you just got to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, you know, you were super flexible. You came in, you know, did what you needed to do, got all the stuff, got it here, and we're set up now in the kennel. It's a beautiful setup. Love hanging here with you, and I'm excited to talk some lax.
Couple papadillas down,
oh,
and the
yeah.
boys are ready to roll.
Just a few papadillas, yep, and if you hear a train in the background, that's my local Thomas the Choo-Choo train rolling through, so, you know. Apologies there, but you shouldn't hear it too often. So Dan, big weekend for the Swarm.
Oh yeah, I know. So you kind of leaked what you had to tell me earlier, which is a little disappointing, but I am excited mm-hmm. to figure out the details here.
Yes, yeah, I know. I was trying to keep it a surprise, but I just couldn't hold it in any longer. I was too excited. So the boys were up against the wall today, winning you're in. Or not today, sorry, this past weekend.
Yeah, I knew.
Up against the wall, winning you're in. And, you know, it was a good team we were playing up against. They had tied a couple teams that we played pretty hard, so I was looking forward to it. Boys ended up coming out dominating 13-4, just a downright just obliterated them. It was awesome. Everybody was doing great. Defense was fired up. So the boys made the playoffs, were the fourth seed, and we're headed into the semifinals this Saturday, feeling pretty good about ourselves.
What was the difference in the game? Give me three keys.
Yep. Let's see. Defensively, you know,
Were there any media there? Did you guys do any interviews post game, anything like that?
No, not too much.
No,
you
local
know,
media.
Fox 45 was there. You know,
oh, so
I gave
local,
a couple quotes.
Local station.
Yeah, but yeah, just a couple of local guys. You
gotcha.
Know, Baltimore Sun. I don't know if you've heard of them. But yeah, so we were given quotes. But I'd say our three biggest things was
were given quotes.
Yeah. Our three biggest things were definitely goalie play. You know, our goalies.
Yeah.
Our goalie is probably the best sixth grader in the country. Mm. I've been figuring out when I should tell Coach Childs about him. I think just talking about him on this podcast.
I love
will
that
naturally
you think
that
the best sixth grader in the country is like, you know, I got a lot of options coming my way, but really thinking, you know, North Carolina. I got some family out in Denver. They're hoping that I come out and play out there.
Sure, sure.
But I also got, you know, the Spartans on the radar.
The Spartans. No, naturally. Trust me. He's going to be there. I hope so. I hope it works out. It's a match made in
future
heaven,
legend.
Though. Yes. He's going to be a legend. He might break all my records, though, so I might not love it. But...
What's his style?
Oh, same exact thing as
oh,
me,
he's,
pretty
he's
much.
He's big body.
Big body, tall. Yeah. He just plays so great. Yep. Love
do you think
him.
He also will get denied by Salisbury?
Oh, I kind of
did that sting.
I mean, at the time, yeah. Now that I know the whole landscape and everything, not too bummed out about it. But you know, at the time, it hurt for sure. But yeah, he's
I kind of feel bad about that joke, but I think people liked it.
I enough people don't like Salisbury that listen to this.
Yeah.
But goalie play for sure. Our long stick. Defensive play out of this world. You know, all of our poles have been playing great. We've had Isaac, one yeah. of our fourth. He's like kind of like our fourth defender.
Yeah,
stepping up huge this yeah. season, getting a lot of PT because he's yeah. been playing so great.
How many elbow injuries?
Oh, zero for old Isaac.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ever since you went and called him out publicly on this.
Oh, the oh,
different
player and HIPAA would. I can't go.
I wasn't
disclose too much.
I didn't mean that in this exact moment. I just
oh.
meant.
Okay.
A generic call out.
Okay, just generically.
You did.
I did. I revealed that information.
Hey, all this Swarm talk has got to be paying dividends. We got people actively seeking out the Swarm tryouts.
Yes, tweeting out our tryout schedule for my personal team. Thank you very much for that.
Literally doing your job as the Swarm social media manager.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. I can just sit back and play Star Wars all night now. That's great. I appreciate everyone giving the love. No, it's been awesome. Everyone's taking notice in the Swarm too, so they all appreciate it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
But then third thing for the Swarm is our offense just came to play. You know, we've kind of been a hit or miss this season with our offensive play, and they were hit this weekend. Firing on all cylinders. My boy Andrew with like four cookies is what he likes to call them. Yeah. We just call them points. Any type of point is a cookie. Four cookies this weekend. Gotcha. So, you know, absolutely dominant performance. Can't wait for this weekend. I'm stoked.
That's exciting. I'm happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to mix in any of the D3 boys into the weekend?
You know, I carved out a couple, but of course, man. Come on. Come on. What do you think, man? Of course. It was a wild weekend, jam-packed with
a lot of the same stuff you just said.
Literally, all that stuff I was just recapping, we could talk about, you know, in all these games here.
Where should we start? High-powered offense and maybe just get our, Spartans out of the way.
Yeah. Get our guys out early. I think. Yeah. You know, I think maybe we should start with Saturday and then roll into Sunday from that. Maybe just a tad.
Should you yell? Can you tell me to check the F and outline?
You know, I could. I was trying to be nice about it. It's just, you know, early on in the pod right now. So
Do it. Do it.
Check the pod, Dan. Check the outline. But hey. Let's start with our boys on Saturday, Grove City, with an absolute crazy game against Swarthmore. Two pod favorites, I would say. You know, we talked about them all year, and this game did not disappoint, Dan. Grove City got its first NCAA win ever, which is incredible. Awesome for their program and very well-deserved with how hard they've been working. And, you know, Swarthmore, even though they did lose this, it was their first tournament appearance since, like, 84, I believe.
That's correct.
You know, so back what, 40 years ago?
Did you see how much change back he gets? The ball comes back out the goal.
Yes.
20 yards. Yes. It comes back out to farther than he was when he shot it.
It looked like he hit the pipe.
It was
wild stuff by him.
In that game, the whole thing was crazy. And, that shot was the perfect ending to an equally epic comeback, right? Like, the rule essentially is a goal a minute. Anything over that or under that is
insurmountable.
Not necessarily, but that's, like, nutty.
Okay. Got it.
And they hit it twice.
Yeah.
Three goals in 3 minutes and then two goals in 2 minutes. Like, and even less. Like, one of the goals they scored 15 seconds after, and it's just nuts. It's just, like, total back is against the wall.
Like, season on the line.
Yeah, careers on the line. And
how do you want to be remembered?
And they go out just absolutely fighting for every last second of it.
It, like, was awesome.
Unbelievable. And the whole game, they're, like, attacking matchups. And, I mean, hand up, right? We said 6.5. I took Swarthmore. You took. Someone texted me and said that the penalty for the bet this week should match the egregiousness of the inaccuracy of the pick.
Of your take? Which and how bad it was?
We haven't had any real punishments all season, but
true.
Perhaps at the end of the year we need to come up with something and keep that in mind.
Yeah, and you're going to get the real brunt of it because that was egregious by you.
Rightfully so. Here's what I thought. I figured Swarthmore would get to 16-17.
Okay.
And I figured they'd keep Grove City to 10. Like, the Swarthmore defense, this was the biggest letdown of the season, right?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but probably up there, yeah.
I mean, for them, for their team, right? What would a bigger,
maybe, I mean,
Vassar?
I was just going to say Vassar maybe, but the green turf.
The
know,
moment,
the
though.
The turf, you know, never know Vassar.
But the moment, right? Like, true. They needed it most.
The biggest letdown. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a good point there for sure.
Thank
and
you.
They were
I like
built
to make
up.
Those.
Yeah, they were just built up to all year though to be like, I thought this was the year for him.
Who, know? Swarthmore or Grove?
Yeah. No, Swarthmore.
Yeah,
Swarthmore. I thought this was the year for him, and you know,
I was always like hot and cold on him. I feel like there were times where I was like way up on him, particularly like after Gettysburg win number two.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they just, like, seem to have Gettysburg's number. But before that, I was a little bit lower on them and had them kind of dropped in the national rankings just based on how many close games they had. Like,
yeah,
you get what I'm saying. But at the same time, like, other teams in the Centennial, like Dickinson, Gettysburg, and F&M at times, too, like, put a hurting on some of those teams that Swarthmore was close with. Mm. So, like, at times I was like, but down the stretch they were playing pretty good ball, and, like, especially, like, conference playoff time. And Dickinson really seems to have their number the same way that they seem to have Swarthmore's number, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I like that. You ready to move on to the next Saturday game from here?
I'm ready to move on to anything and everything that you're ready to move on to.
Yeah, yeah. Let's highlight a couple more of these Saturday games. Yeah. Talk about some teams that maybe not be might not be playing anymore.
And as always, we have our statistical players of the week, which is a wonderful time for us to try and hit those some of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a special losers edition.
I think so. Yes,
all losers. Right?
I think let me go back and check the outline here, but. Yeah, I think everybody on this list here is not playing anymore.
Perfect. So we get to highlight some of these teams again here in a few minutes.
That'll be perfect. Yep. Can't wait. So we'll move right along to Stevens Kenyon, which we saw a 20-11 win here for Stevens. This was a pretty good game hosted at Dickinson. Dan, what'd you see here?
Yeah, so again, we will get to specific shout out here from this game, but yeah,
I think two players.
Yeah, but a big piece of the puzzle was Jack Savarese at attack for Stevens.
Mm.
And I really like that Stevens attack, man. Kevin Crowley there is another guy that's been a historically, you know, effective player here in Division III, and some of that time was at Catholic as well, but has been particularly effective throughout his career. And then Jack Savarese again has stepped up in a big way and has really put up a ton of points for him this year, really narrowing in on that 100 mark, not eclipsing it over the weekend. He actually may have. Let's double check on that real quick.
Mm. Yep, and while you're double checking that,
91. So he's still got really racked up some points and had a good one in this Kenyon game, I think getting to 8.
Yeah, dang, very impressive. Was just going to mention that we do have the Heat Celtics game on in the back. It's a 5-point game with 3 minutes left in the fourth. So if you hear any oohs and ahs, apologies. But yeah, that's a really good point, Dan. You know, I thought this was a pretty good one here. Anything else on this one?
Nope. I think we can keep it moving. Kenyon face-off play was incredible.
Also incredible. We're going to get to it in a little bit, but also another shout out for them, which has been all year.
Definitely just a factor dominant in the game as well. Like, if Stevens had all those extra possessions, like, we definitely could have seen them not just hitting 20, but break.
All right. Anything else from that one there, Dan?
Nope. I don't think anything specific. Great season for Kenyon, right?
Yep.
Exceeded a lot of expectations. This time they just fall short. Few more turnovers than probably they would have liked that kind of canceled out that advantage that we were talking about at the face-off. But again, an awesome season for Kenyon, who definitely overcame a lot of expectations probably at preseason.
Agreed. Yep. Good one for them. We'll get into our next one here, which is Union Western New England, which we saw a very tight one here, but Union pulled it out 15-13. They used a nice 7-1 run with Peter Kipp. He got 4 points, I believe, in that run. So great run by them, which kind of led that game to the point where it got 15-13. Pretty tight there. So Peter Kipp, definitely a difference maker. Dan, I know you caught most all of this one. So what?
Gosh, they're a tough team, and every year they seem to kind of make some noise here. And
every year we talk about. Yep.
Which is definitely interesting, and they have a couple guys on that offensive side of the ball that can really play. Dylan Handley is a bit of a feeder first type of a player, lefty with a quick step, but man, he can really play. And then Mike Bannon has been around for a long time, really experienced player, and I think that's a bit of a piece of the puzzle. Is sprinkled throughout this roster is definitely a lot of guys who have been around for a while and have seen a lot and are plenty experienced. And then in this game, it shows at times for sure. Down the stretch, Union just ends up playing with a bit more desperation, a bit more urgency, and in those moments, just their talent shines through. Mm-hmm. And you know, they end up being able to be the team that makes enough plays down the stretch, but they need it going into the fourth as they're trailing, they're set up. And it's a really tight game all the way through. And like we said, they score with like 5 minutes or so left in the third quarter to make it a 12-9 game. And then as the fourth quarter hits, they just close it out with a pretty significant, like we said, like you said earlier, 7-1 run. Yeah, and that just totally shifts the game, brings it back into their grasp, and they close out with, you know.
It's more smart, however you want to say that.
I appreciate you saying that. And the way that you said sounds more smart also sounded real smart, buddy.
The Brainiacs over here.
Oh, yeah.
We should rename the pod.
You know it.
Love it. Yeah, yeah. I caught that 7-1 run, and it was really something special. Kind of what we've been expecting Union to be all year was kind of encapsulated in that little portion. So,
and you mentioned Peter Kipp. Got to mention Zach Davis as well, who actually scores 3 of the goals during that segment.
Mm.
Just, we've talked about him plenty and being a guy that has very little hesitation to get his hands free and let a shot fly. And in that moment, like we said, once that desperation, like sense of urgency kicks in, there's few players that I would rather have on my side when it comes to that type of a moment. Same thing. Western New England made a run, man.
Yeah.
Nobody really expected them to make the tournament after the way that first round in the regular season went with Endicott.
Agreed.
But then they come back and kind of shock Endicott. And then get into the tournament and really make some noise against Union, almost steal one there as well. So props to them for, you know, continuing to fight. And at the midway point, especially after that type of Endicott loss, like it would have been easy to kind of just fold chips and say like, all right, not our year. They ain't do that. Nope. You know?
Nope. Powered through. And I think this is a phrase I'm going to be saying a lot in this pod. So apologies, but great season. You know, it was, it really, really was, not to be redundant, but every time I say it, I do mean it. It great season by them. Their back was against the wall.
Do you want to do a blanket waiver say it for everybody so you don't have to say it for each individual?
That's true. I'll probably will still mess up and say it a couple times.
Let's just keep it rolling then. But yeah, no, don't even probably even better seasons for those guys.
True. Yeah, we'll see how good of their seasons are maybe next pod. But we'll keep going here. Next game we got on the list.
Second con sitting on the floor here for Podsy Boys.
Oh, okay.
I can smell my own feet.
Uh-oh. Are they smelly?
Gosh.
That's a redundant question because I do know that they are smelly sitting next to you, but it's okay.
What a day.
As somebody who also has smelly feet, I can't,
it's just been a
can't
long
complain
one, you know?
About other people's feet.
I was going all day.
Yep. That's fair.
I've still been going.
That's fine.
I'm still going.
It's because you wear a inferior shoe brand, though. You should definitely switch to Under Armour. Better.
If only somebody could hook that up.
Maybe there's more slip speeds calling your name for your birthday or something like that. I don't know.
Those look nice.
Yeah, you like those? Thanks.
Are they like your guys' version of Crocs? No free ads, though.
Not really Crocs, no. No, definitely no free ads. But I guess Under Armour pays me, so I could give them a little bit of an ad. But
that's a pretty reasonable point.
But yeah, they're definitely one of the best shoe innovations I've seen in the past 5 years. You just slip those bad boys on,
and
take out the trash,
speed?
Do anything, and then if you need to go speed mode, you just flip them up in the back and you're ready to rock and roll.
Right.
I wear them to like practice. It's great because like you can just kick back, like be in chill mode when you're coaching, and then like warm up the goalie, flip them into speed mode,
right?
Get after it. It's great.
Yeah. So what you're saying is they're your guys' version of Crocs because the Crocs have the off-road
tactical version versus the
tactical
version.
Off-road.
Yep. Off four-wheel drive. Yep.
So on and so forth.
Many, many variations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But something like that. Yeah.
That's cool. That.
They're Crocs, but higher tech Crocs, and you can put them in the wash machine. So when you have smelly feet like me, you just throw them in the wash machine.
Speaking of the Crocs, this is an incredible segue.
Yeah.
But we need to go to Illinois Wesleyan.
Oh.
They are the Crocs.
They literally are the Crocs.
Did you know that?
No, I actually had no idea they were Crocs.
It's amazing.
Well, the fact that they are means we have to hit them next, which they played at Denison because Denison's hosting. Yep.
Yep.
And they saw a 15-10 win for Denison.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of what I was expecting, but, you know, not how I expected it. It was Denison really used a fourth quarter run to create that separation and really led to the win there after the back and forth battle.
So in the D1 world, we did like a seeded teams upset alert.
Yeah.
I think this might have been the one that I had gone to.
Oh.
12-10 game early in the year.
Oh.
And they run a zone.
I remember that, yeah.
It's, you know, nice and tight and organized. We always talk about it. Teams with identity that can impose that identity from matchup to matchup can go a long way. And I thought that that might have been a little bit of the case here with this Denison-Illinois Wesleyan game as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely think that's a good call out.
But they live through it.
They do.
They sure do.
They live to fight another day.
That's right.
Yep. And we will get to that later on here. But we'll keep this train moving into Babson-Williams, which kind of a surprise for me. I personally thought that Williams might be able to pull this one out. Or like before the game, if you would have asked me, I probably would have gone Williams, like maybe 1.5, 2 points even.
Yeah.
But no, it was Babson who gets a pretty dominant win over Williams here. And they avenged that one-goal regular season loss. So pretty cool for the Beavers. I think it was their first win in program's history for the NCAA tournament. Is that correct?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, you know me, the stat guy, throwing them out there.
But I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you see from here, this, Dan?
Yeah, so Babson-Williams definitely impacted the offense a bit more than it clearly did against Babson. And I will say this, that I feel like part of the success from that comes with getting used to it. And part of getting used to it probably came from the fact that they played them earlier in the year, right? So they already had one little C at that defense and one stab at it. And then this time around definitely was able to, you know, go at it with a bit more confidence. Their guys just come to play and find the back of the net when they need them most, which is
definitely,
you know, big time of them. You have Chi-Chi Price finding the back of the net. You have Spagnolet.
that's a throwback from last year.
Yeah. It's Spangenberg.
Yeah.
But it gets close to that every time I go down the spat.
Yeah. It's immediately what I think of. Yeah,
for sure.
When I hear it.
And yeah, so those guys come to play, bring all that to the table and more, and are able to really help that offense and get to 16 on the day.
Love that. Love that for them. And, you know, good stuff there. We'll keep going to my boys, Amherst, who we saw take on Geneseo at Salisbury. And, you know, Amherst jumped up to a 11-3 lead, I think it was. You know, popped it over after that. But they were pretty dominant performance by the
Mammoths. Not so fast, my friend.
Oh.
I'm not done with the Beavers and the Heifers.
Whoa, that you still want to touch on the Heifers?
Beavers and Heifers. I'm not done yet.
Mr. Okay, all right. My flag on the play.
Flag on the play.
Throw that thing in reverse. Back that thing up.
Flip it and reverse it.
Mm-hmm. One more time for me.
Wham, flip a nipple friend yet. We had two other point scorers that I wanted to throw out for the Beavers. You had Jacob Taus and Matt Stucci, who also each had 4 points in addition to Spangenberg. We said Chi-Chi Price, he had the hat trick. But again, a lot of guys getting to the goal, scoring and hitting for unassisted goals. And then on the other side of the ball, we got to talk about our boy in the net.
Mm.
Your guy.
All right, true.
And that's Matt Freitas, who finished the day with 11 saves. But also down the other end, you mentioned keeping Williams off the board. That's a pretty dynamic offense, right? And Will Parducci was up to the task as he got to 14 saves on the day. Nice. So some pretty excellent goalie play on this one.
Yeah.
And again, this was a rematch that was a one-goal game.
Yep.
So definitely a fun NCAA matchup and a good way to get a rematch in there.
100%. Yep.
And both of these teams are no longer with us. So we wish all their seniors the best, but enjoyed watching them throughout the year.
Definitely.
2023, great season for Babson, man. New MAC champs.
It really was.
New MAC champs, won a bunch of close games.
Got over it was the probably Gap Harp a hump.
Really fun. MIT. True. Probably a really fun season for them.
Definitely. I think a lot of positive takeaways for them. All right, we're ready to fast forward?
Yeah, now you can pick that flag up that I threw earlier.
Okay.
And officially throw that back in the pocket.
Okay.
And, like, you're a ref that, like, maybe I was yelling for the flag.
You
and we've moved on.
You asked for a review of the pass interference. I reviewed it. No interference. No interference.
And it was clear, so my conscience is okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've moved on.
Yes. On to bigger and better things. Mammoth-sized things, wow. Some would say.
Wow. Can I make a confession?
Uh-huh.
Illinois Wesleyan, not the Gators.
Oh, no. It was such a good segue, too. Did you know right away, or did you just... Or
what?
Did you figure out, like, halfway through, or...
What? No. That was all made up.
Oh,
no.
You just...
The whole thing was a joke.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
I 100% believed it the whole time.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point, I was smirking at you, and you kind of looked at me like, you're distracting me. And I was like, oh, I better let him go.
Perfect. Good. Oh, man. Well, maybe we, maybe Geneseo could be the Crocs this
time.
They're
the Titans.
The Titans?
For what it's worth.
Is that, that's what they actually are?
Yeah.
Okay. Titans are kind of cool, I guess.
Very cool.
Yeah. Cool Titans. All right. All right. So we saw Amherst, the Mammoths, take on Geneseo, the Crocs, and it was 11-3 run, which, you know, kind of dominated the game for him. And then, you know, 17-11 finale. Dan, any takeaways from this here? Any talking points on Geneseo?
We'll get to Amherst. Bingo. Yeah. Geneseo talking points. Trevor Bollinger, guy that should be on all American radars for people.
Definitely on the watch list.
He's awesome. Love his tenacity and athleticism. Awesome player. They have plenty of guys on offense as well. Really a trio of guys that can really produce. It again was a fun team. First time they've won the SUNYAC in, I wanted to say, since 07. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. But yeah, a fun team to watch this year here in 2023 for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. We'll keep it going then, and we'll hit WNL Center. This was, you know, a pretty fun one, which we saw WNL win 21-10, seven first quarter goals, got WNL in rhythm, and, you know, kind of led them to this victory. We'll get to WNL here in a bit, but Dan, any center thoughts, talks on them, anything about their season?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. Center, yeah. Ryan Black is a attackman for them that has definitely stepped up for him and been a leader and has produced really well. And he's a guy that I actually remember from recruiting. He's from Georgia, and he played in a few of our IL events. And I remember, I remember when he committed to center, thinking like, "Oh my gosh, like he's gonna get there and have a million goals for him." And so it's cool to see that his career is right on that path and kind of panning out. And just one of those things, you know, like why D3? Like, I think he's a guy that probably had some other interest from potentially schools that to you and I might sound more appealing, but like based on geography and, you know, a million other things based on fit, like this was where he ended up. And it seems from the outside perspective, like from a lacrosse fit, like, you know, a home run.
Pretty good for him. Yeah.
Hashtag YD3.
There you go. Can tell a,
yeah, so, I mean, this one was a little interesting, maybe perhaps a little bit closer than people thought first ban. It gets to 12-8 in the third quarter, and Salisbury had kind of gone, you know, a good while without a goal during that stretch. And then they all wake up, and it's like they score five, maybe six in a row, all unassisted goals, just like winning matchups and turning the corner and burying shots. So like, it was kind of like they were just playing with their food for a little bit. And then at that point just decided that they were going to take it from, you know, the rest of them. And
yeah.
Kind of end the rest of that, those hopes. But
and I guess now is a better time than any to shout out Cross Ferreira for his PLL draft.
Oh yeah. We haven't pod since.
Yeah. Yeah. Since the draft. Shout out Cross Chrome, correct? In the third round?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. Third round of the Chrome. Congrats. Really grown D3. Getting the name out there. It was nice to see York make ESPN on some highlight reels for Cross, unfortunately, but still York was on ESPN. All the boys were talking about that. It was great. But shout out that.
Yeah, and Colorado College, man. Great season again, like we said. Throw yourselves right in that mix there. Fun trips, I'm sure. Like, how many teams get to fly out east and, you know, spend that type of time together as a D3 team?
Especially, you know, end of the season. There's only 32 teams left. Good stuff for them. Yep. We'll keep going here into Dickinson John Carroll. 10 goals in the first half. And stifling defense is what I would say to them. Dickinson just had everything rolling for him. Dan, anything to take away here from John Carroll from this season or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, John Carroll is a definitely up-and-coming team. It's cool to see that they were able to... I think defensively, this team is a lot to like. They, especially in their league, if you go back and you look at some of the scores there, they definitely keep a lot of teams like under 7-8 goals and a lot of teams under 10, but even more so, like we said, like some under like 8 and, you know, really impressive. Obviously, Dickinson is another story. They're really tough to keep down. Physically and athletically, there was a bit of a gap, it felt like. But again, John Carroll, definitely a great season there. And really interesting point for him, and one that I'm sure you'll love. But goalie play for them is excellent through the season. So definitely exciting for John Carroll to continue to build. And frankly, that John Carroll versus Baldwin Wallace rivalry or matchup is becoming one that, like, D3 fans can circle. D3
must watch.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah. D3 fans can circle for the start of each season.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Yep. Good wrap up there. We'll keep it going to RIT Western Connecticut. Saw a 20-8 win for RIT, and they had 8 goals in the second quarter.
And Wisconsin's better than I realized.
They're kind of scrappy.
I watched a good bit of this one.
Yeah. So watching this, what did you see from them?
You said, Wisconsin pretty scrappy. Yeah. Offensively, like, they weren't scared. They definitely just attacked matchups. Physically, again, there was definitely – I mean, that may be perhaps – the biggest difference in the top of the bracket and the bottom of the bracket is just like physical size, stature, like athleticism. The gap in those two things is just so hard to overcome, particularly when it comes to like winning 50-50 ground balls or then winning matchups, things like that. Like, I think that's one of the biggest differences, at least.
Yep.
And then that definitely shows in that one. But, you know, WestCon, like, they're organized, they play hard, and to that point, like, they might have been physically outmatched, but they didn't show any, like, fear out of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Good takeaway. And, you know, RIT is rolling right now, looking pretty good. We'll keep going, though, into, I would say, the two best games on Saturday. We'll start with this one here, Middlebury-St. Mary's, which, if you asked me before Saturday, I would have said this would have been a pretty good route, good warm-up, tune-up for Middlebury before Sunday. But this turned into just a hard-fought game where we saw, you know, back-and-forth contests. St. Mary's is a team that's, you know, been kind of scrappy all year, maybe hasn't had the best competition, but, you know, they've came to play and put up some big numbers and some big points. And, you know, this was a really good game, came down to the wire, and Middlebury ended up taking it away 10-9.
Yeah, and gosh, man, St. Mary's really battles. Like, if you're a St. Mary's alum, fan, coach, some sort of affiliation with the team, whatever, you got to be super proud of the effort and, like, battle back. It would have been really easy to kind of, like, roll away and
rest on your morals and say, yeah, we had a good season, got here.
Particularly after you go down 4-0 within the first, like, 4 minutes of the game. Like, less than that, and you're down. It's less than a goal. It's just around a goal a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Just under a goal a minute, I should say, because it's 11:51 when they get to the fourth goal. So, like, yeah, it would have been really easy at that point. But nope, not what happens. They battle back, make it 4-3. They never actually end up taking a lead in the game, but they do get it tied once at 5-5 right at the end of the quarter. They score with just over a minute left to make it 5-5. And then again, it gets tied at 6-6 in the second. And then that's the ends up being the closest that it is from there, because Middlebury goes on a little bit of a run to ultimately pull to 10-6. But again, like we said, like, once they go down 4-0, would have been kind of easy to roll over and kind of, like, accept your fate. But particularly after you go neck and neck for a good while and then you end up falling down 10-6, it would have been even easier to roll over. Mm-hmm. And then, boom, nope, not what happens. They come rolling back, make it 10-9. And that's with 5 minutes left, right around 6 minutes left. So really there was plenty of time left. And then not only are they unfortunately, you know, unable to get one in the back of the net to equalize it again, but their defense is locking it down. You know, they're keeping Middlebury off the board. They're doing all that they need to do to get the ball back and give their offense plenty of, you know, hope. It's just one of those instances where, like, in sports, you can do a lot of things right. You can do a whole bunch of things, you know, a whole lot of things can go your way. And then just at the very end, you know, a slim margin of whatever can be the difference maker in a win and loss. But man, you got to be super proud of the effort and fight and way that St. Mary's played in that game if you're a St. Mary's affiliate.
Yes, very, very well said. I think you you summed it up there very nicely. Good stuff there. We'll move it right along. Get to our last game from Saturday, OT Thriller, where we saw Lynchburg barely edge it out against St. John Fisher, 11-10. You know, Riley Mitchell scored his first goal in like the most clutch possible moment, like when the team needed it most, right at the end there. So good for them. Big shout out, Dan. Big takeaways from this, specifically St. John Fisher.
Gosh, they were a team that they started, I believe, of the season 0-7.
Yeah.
Battle back. I wrote them off early on. Continue to get better. And I, going into this game, I was worried for my Hornets here. Mm-hmm. I was a bit worried for the Hornets. I don't know if you realize this, but also at the, throughout the weekend, one of the Lynchburg starting attackmen didn't make an appearance.
I did, yeah.
So that definitely is an impact as well. But I thought there was a chance that St. John Fisher was going to end up edging this thing out. And, man, is it tight throughout the game. But, man, if you consider this team right now, we talked about, like, sometimes we've talked about this in the past. We use this expression, like, if a team could magically somehow play the clone of themselves from early in the year, like, how much would you, the team at the end of the year win by? And I think for St. John Fisher, it would be a pretty significant jump there. And part of that is injuries. Not only was this the best they were playing, it was the healthiest they've been.
Agreed.
And a combination of all of it has them set up, had them set up.
Love it. All right, and our last game of the day for Saturday, where we saw York take on Cabrini, our boys, up at Tufts, and York wins 18-9. They had like a crippling, 9-0 run in the second quarter that was just, you know, after that it was pretty insurmountable. Dan, what were your key takeaways from this one?
I thought the defense played really well, and I thought offensively they were able to get a lot of the looks and reads that they like, and because they were getting what they, you know, are used to, they were able to look particularly crisp. Cabrini at times was able to kind of ramp up the pressure, which kind of had me a little bit nervous for what was to come the next day. But definitely was a great showing there for the Spartans and earned them a spot the next day, taking on Tufts.
Yeah, yeah, definitely there. And Cabrini, you know, what takeaways do you have for their season?
I don't know exactly what happened. He only plays three games, but one of their leading scorers, I guess, gets hurt, goes down, not totally sure. And then since then, they were kind of, you know, trying to work to find an identity. And I thought Connor Herays and Dylan McManus definitely stepped up for him and were able to produce. Defensively is kind of where the side of the ball that they had some of the experience on. But they were so definitely, like, more athleticism-heavy than, like, lacrosse IQ or, like, poise or, you know, like, that like, savvy, you know? They were more of the athletic type, I feel like. And it kind of showed when they saw teams that were able to throw, you know, multiple different looks at them or had offenses that featured lots of different movement or, you know, lots of different seals and different things like that. So... definitely a good season though for the Cavaliers, and it'll be interesting to see how they are next year with Herays and McManus leading the way.
Yeah, that's going to be excited for them. All right, so let's get into Sunday. So Sunday we saw some great matchups from those teams that we just talked about that won, and really set the stage here for the Elite Eight that we got coming up next week. So we're going to dive into Sunday, talk about these games, and then you know, recap some statistical players, and then really preview these this upcoming Elite Eight weekend and Final Four weekend as well. So, Dan, with all that said, let's get right into Sunday. Dickinson Stevens, that's where I want to start. Very, very tight, hotly contested. Didn't think it was going to be this tight, but you know, the Red Devils are doing some good things right now, playing very strong. What were your takeaways?
Yeah, so Dickinson, I feel like right now, two things that they have going for him. I think they might have the best duo in terms of specialty players. Mm. I think their goalie face-off combination of the teams left might be the top tier.
You really like Brandao?
Yeah, Brandao plus John McKee facing off. John McKee's been excellent, and on the weekend between the two games, he was particularly strong. Again, I think that we talk about identities, and offensively, they certainly have one. They seem to have an answer in place and kind of a if-then situation for whatever the defensive look that they see is. One thing that does seem to stifle Dickinson from time to time is zone. So it'll be interesting to see if CNU does go ahead and use that this weekend.
I would expect them to, personally.
Yeah, possibly. And then their length, I think, is, you know, definitely advantageous whether they're in man or in that zone. But one thing that Stevens does that was particularly effective against that the Dickinson Dodges was they were really eating space off the pipe. So as the righty alley dodge was happening, the space on the pipe was really getting kind of eaten up by the defender that was showing off the forward pass. So it let them, you know, kind of defend that with a little bit more ease, with not having to slide to everything. And it helped keep Dickinson down a little bit and stifled them. And it was a smart wrinkle and definitely a good look for Stevenson's defense. Stevens,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yep. Stevens. Nice. Yeah. That was some good stuff there. Really think your comment about that specialty combo, I think that's a really good point as far as, you know, the teams that are left. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and how they can utilize that. Any big things from Stevens? Any big takeaways about their season? You know, coach gets what was that, 500th career win? 300th, yep. So 300 wins there. Any other big takeaways from the season for him?
Stevens, not a whole ton there for him. I thought that Jack Savarese, like we've said earlier, had a great season. He had 8 points against Kenyon, like we mentioned, and then followed that up with 4 points here against Dickinson. Matthew Pergola definitely stepped up for him and had a big impact throughout the season. And then, like we said, I like that attack unit with Kevin Crowley. One guy that's probably one of the most underrated defenders in the country is Joe Colley. Mm. He's had a career of being particularly strong on the defensive side of the ball, a close defender that they asked to do a lot. He can jump up and play wings, and he definitely brings toughness to the table for the Stevens team. And again, that's Joe Colley, who does a very, very good job for that Stevens defense.
Love that. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff from them. Good takeaways. Excited for him.
And I believe he was a graduate student. So
okay,
it's impossible to know if it was fifth year, sixth year, what that actually means for him.
I think we've tried so hard to guess these. I think at this point we just got to.
So I won't speculate, but if he is done, year. He had a heck of a career.
Yep. 100%. Couldn't agree more. We'll keep going into the next game, which was one of my personal favorites of the weekend. I thought it was the big dog game of the weekend for sure. Salisbury Amherst. This one, I thought if there's any team that probably could take down Salisbury right now, the Mammoths were the one.
I think I would have been right there with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, with that offense and how dynamic they are, I think
face-off play.
What they specialized in really capitalized and could take advantage of what Salisbury lacks in, so to speak. But wasn't the case here.
As we have been wrong about the Seagulls before, were wrong about the Seagulls again.
We are so wrong about the Seagulls.
Specifically you. You're always wrong about
them. I know, yeah. Maybe
I don't take as much any blame at all.
Maybe it's because I only beat them like once ever, but like maybe that's it. But it was really that 5-0 first quarter that if you go down to Salisbury 5-0 in Salisbury Stadium, like there's no coming back from that, personally, I don't think. And Amherst tried. They definitely tried to make it a game here and there, but at the end of the day, like, you kind of always felt that it was Salisbury's game.
And they really struggled to generate consistent looks with any type of high percentage. When they did finally start to see a little bit of success, it was on these like long dodges out of the box that they were able to generate a little bit of speed before Salisbury was kind of able to get into their set. Salisbury obviously traditionally does a single lock where they're going to go and short stick shut one of those people on the one of the six on offense. And it looked to me like they were doing a little bit of double shut where they were really trying to force the Amherst Dodgers to beat their poles for unassisted goals and not really let the short sticks get involved too much.
That's a smart play by them too.
And it definitely was stifling, and perhaps is part of why they weren't able to generate too many good looks until late in the game. It took a little bit of time to get used to the looks before they were able to be effective against it. And then by the time they were, it was just too little too late. To your point, like, you go down in Salisbury to Coach Berkman
5-0
in the NCAA playoffs. Like, warm up with the buses, brother.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Get them gassed up.
Yeah. Gas them up. Let's get this thing on the road.
Couldn't agree more. And it's a long trip back to Amherst from there. So good points. Any big takeaways? Kind of more analytically for Amherst. I mean, personally, it was a really fun season for him. It was, you know, kind of a letdown early on with Brock's big injury and whatnot, but I really thought they grew, you know, defensively. They were a young team. Likens in his sophomore year, I thought he did some great things. Saw a little bit more. I mean, this game wasn't the best. If we're talking, you know, what have you done for me lately? Four saves isn't the best in a big NCAA tournament game like this, mind you. So definitely should put a fire under him for next season.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Talk about great motivation for the offseason.
You had four saves in a game that, you know, your team could have used six more saves, and we're talking a different game. That's asking for 10 saves in an NCAA tournament game. That should be, you know, expected of you.
In his defense, though, a lot of high percentage looks.
Oh, I'm not.
Bucket down.
I mean, opportunities. They have guys on their team playing in the PLL next year. you really can't fault, like, when they're scored. You know, you can't say it's his fault by any means, and I'm not saying that.
Wait, what did you say? They have guys?
They have guy.
Does that make him a...
I think if you get drafted to the PLL, you're officially
auto dude.
Yeah, like Matt Witcher.
Ready to keep us moving?
Yep. Do we have to talk about the second game that happened at Salisbury? On Sunday?
That happened at Salisbury on Sunday.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
We do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. There was a second game. Oh, it wasn't at Salisbury. Sorry. Apologies. It was in Tufts. Right, let's just get it out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Let's get it out of the way. Yeah. Peel the Band-Aid off quick.
All right. I'm just now figuring out where...
Yeah, no. I got my host sites mixed up. Apologies.
Right. Yep. I forgive you.
Nope. It was Tufts, York.
Yep.
Let's get the Band-Aid off.
Ready, Freddy.
It was a 21-8 route. And that 12-2 run, it was, I think, second to third quarter. It just drastically opened up the game. I know it's a tough one. Dan, any takeaways from this? Anything you wanna highlight?
Gosh, I mean, I feel like Tufts was just the bigger, faster, stronger, like, more athletic team, and it showed in a million different ways. Like we said earlier, like, we said that some of the higher-seeded teams and then some of the lower-seeded teams, like, that was the same way in this game as it was in RIT WestCon. Definitely was just apparent, especially in the midfield. Like, the York midfield, typically they have, you know, some speedsters that are quick and good stick skills. But
if you were to ask me before the game, like, I wouldn't say that would be where York's downfall has been. Like, Shields has been great for them this year, along with a couple other guys.
I'm more so talking about the other side of the ball. I feel like, I mean, obviously, like, Tufts offense has been awesome and is awesome, but, like, they're definitely a beneficiary of transition that happens because of stifling, like, aggressive defense where they put the ball on the ground and are able to leak up and, you know, create this transition off of, you know, poles that are...
They're just up and out.
Excellent, yeah.
Consistently and so quickly.
And one of the biggest things, the biggest differences, especially, like, after seeing... I didn't see this one in person, but 2 years ago we saw it in person, and then also I've seen RIT in person plenty of times, but two things to me that stick about Tufts and RIT the most relative to the rest of Division III teams is just short stick D mids and their, like, stick skills and ability to push and create transition. Not just the stick skills of it, but, like, the sense and, like, offensive instincts that it takes to, like, recognize the transition look and then execute within it. Like sometimes it just takes cutting to open up the lane for the next person. Mm-hmm. But in order to cut to open up the lane for the next person, you have to realize that you're supposed to do that. And those teams don't ever miss out on a single opportunity like that. Like yeah. They recognize 1,000% of them and then are always like buttoned up to take advantage of it.
100%. And when they get the ball, they're ready to finish it too.
Also true.
Back in the net every time.
Also true.
Yep. It's crazy. Which we did see York get a couple saves actually. Yeah, there was one highlighted on Twitter that was pretty sweet. But you know, majority of them I would say they were buried. Which yeah, high percentage shots, so is what you're supposed to do. But, you know, Tufts is going to be hosting Lynchburg now in the quarterfinals Saturday. And then we'll see what happens going on from there. But should be a pretty good matchup. And I think I got that wrong. Did I?
What? No. Lynchburg plays Tufts at Tufts.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah.
I just need to
be more confident in myself.
You nailed it.
Yeah, that's all. Go with a fan. Fan perspective.
Yeah, so I mean, every time you reach the end of a season as a fan, or you know, like we said earlier, we were using for St. Mary's, we were using the word affiliate, and I like that.
I like that word.
Me too. And you know, anytime you reach that point, you're just thankful for the seniors, right? They didn't go through a lot, 4 years of a lot of sacrifice, time, effort, so on and so forth, spent for the program. So you're sad to see the guys go, and then eager to figure out which ones of them are going to stick around and stay, right?
Like, very, so very eager for
that'll that. be how I spend the next few weeks here getting myself to fall asleep at night just thinking about, you know, which one of those Spartans are going to be coming back next year.
Yep. I'll be doing the same exact thing. Lying in bed, but very good season for them.
Yeah, and gosh, you know, the other thing about it, like, again, keeping the fan perspective, they play such an awesome schedule. Like, it ends up potentially hurting you in terms of getting sent up to go have to play a team earlier in the tournament. But, like, if you're going to reach the goal that we're trying to reach anyways, you're going to have to see him at some point. So, like,
might as well see him early on.
It would be nice to get that extra time or have that extra week together. But at the same time, like, the ultimate goal is the ultimate goal, and you're going to have to see those teams at some point anyways.
Yep.
So,
man,
it just makes for a fun season when every single game in the first, you know, month and a half of the year is a loaded loaded roster on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Like a loaded out of conference game, RIT, plenty of teams we could list on and on. So good stuff from them. Love the direction that it's going still as a fan, as a former player. Like, love what they're doing. I think they got the right pieces in place. And, you know, I think that coming years, they're definitely on the map now, and it's coming together for them. It's all coming together. I got a good feeling about it.
You bet.
All right. So keeping going here, we saw a Middlebury Union matchup on Sunday, which was you traded a little bit of runs here and there, but ultimately led Middlebury's favor 19-10. Really quite the bounce back from Middlebury, too, after that St. Mary's game. Dan, what did you really take away from this?
Yeah, and again, another one that I was pretty eager to get my hands on. Mm-hmm. Looking right away, check out the team stats, go through, and you see a whole bunch of failed clears.
Yep.
Gosh. And
that really stuck out to me, we just talked about Middlebury a couple weeks ago. Man.
That's
their clearing game.
If they're hitting you there, then you know that's a huge piece of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the teams that have been able to keep them down have been able to handle that and make them play as much 6-on-6 as possible. And again, it doesn't just create extra possessions, but it gives them really clean looks in transition a lot of the times as well.
Yep.
Union definitely wins faceoffs in that one. That definitely helps as well. And again, one of the things that cruising through the box score, they go 0-for-4 man up. And, you know, again, throughout the game, if you steal one of those in each quarter, the way that it was panned out, perhaps you are putting a little bit of extra pressure on.
Yep. Very well said there. So Union, you know, up and down season for them. I know they definitely had some bright spots, battled through some injuries and whatnot, got a little bit better as the year went on. Any kind of key takeaways, good high notes that they could leave their season on?
Yeah, like we said, this is we've mentioned about times, like, they're kind of our non York squad. Yeah. Or mine, at least.
You have yours. You have Amherst. I got the Mammoths.
Yeah. But again, I love the way that they approach every matchup. They play with tenacity and toughness. They always seem prepared and, you know, have scout in mind and play hard, and you know, I appreciate watching them. And well, again, we've mentioned the seniors, but, you know, wish those guys the best. And this is a team that was in the national championship 2 years ago. So some of these guys have won a whole bunch of games in their career, and we'll definitely be leaving a bit of a legacy behind here.
100%. Yeah, very well said. Now we're going to go see Middlebury in the marquee game of the quarterfinals, taking on back-to-back champions RIT. So that's going to be a blast to watch. Can't wait to see that. But we'll keep it going here into the Lynchburg-Denison game we saw at Denison. And this was pretty much a Lynchburg route from the get-go. You know, after that overtime game, wasn't really expecting it, but the Hornets came out on a 7-0 run, and they just never looked back. Fired all the way through. Dan, what'd you see here?
Yeah, I kind of actually hesitate to say that it was a route all the way through.
Okay, I definitely know I throw that term out a little loosely sometimes.
Okay,
so
okay.
That's fair.
I'm glad, as long as you know that that's perhaps a shortcoming. But yes, so not necessarily a route all the way through, just because the way that it planned out was that 7-0 run. But then after that, you have a really very, very even game. And it becomes really, you know, statistically even throughout that at that point as well. But yeah, if you're Denison, you've got to be really, really regretting the way that that game starts, and just wishing, you know, with a lot of might, that you could go back and just hit a quick restart and, you know, keep yourself from digging that hole.
Yeah. Yep. That was really the difference maker in the game for him. And Denison, we saw them have a really great season this year. You know, they did some great stuff, ranked pretty high, as high as what, like 12, 13, something like that in the IL rankings.
I don't know, maybe off 14, the top of my head, maybe, but yeah, 14, in that range. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. High teens area. So great takeaways from them this year. Who would you really like to highlight, or what do you want to take away from them?
Yeah, so I mean, two guys that definitely brought it for him on the attack, and Luke Fisher and Ethan Tyak. Definitely give them, like we said, a sense of identity on the attack side of things, and two guys that can attack matchups, and you can essentially pick which one of them you like better based on defender matchup, right? Mm-hmm. And both of them will give you something different and something pretty dynamic. Defensively, Brooks Crowley had definitely a great season. Jack Hines stepped up big time and was a guy that was able to create for him through the midfield. And just to name one more, I'll go Archer Durock in goal. Oh. Definitely had you like that?
Yeah.
Definitely had a very solid season. I'm not exactly sure. I could do a quick Google check here on save percentage and goals against. But without that handy, I'll just say that he was, excellent all season. And he's a guy that you would like his style. Definitely a bigger guy, takes up his angles, and has some quick, snappy hands.
Yeah, no, I've definitely seen him play a little bit. Love what he brings to the table. And some good stuff for them moving forward. But came to an end for him, and Lynchburg's going to prepare for that rematch with Tufts. You know, we've been talking about it. It was now I've been throwing around the word route. That was a route. That first Tufts Lynchburg matchup, what was it, 19-4 was the final there?
Route.
That's an officially a route. So Lynchburg's going to look to avenge that. Could potentially be a bet of the week scenario. We'll have to see. I got a nice little spread prepared for that, but we'll have to see. But that'll be a fun one. I think they match up to the Jumbos quite well. Hadley's going to need to have a big day. We'll get into the preview a little bit later, but Hadley's going to need to be really bring it for Lynchburg to have any chance there. But we'll keep on going. Talk about the next one here, which we have WNL taking on our boys down at Grove City. And you know, after that big win, Grove City was riding high, gave WNL a lot, you know, really came out to play and played a great game. But end of the day, WNL came out on top. And it was a 13-10 win for him.
Yeah, and Hillis Burns kind of takes over towards the stretch. Grove City scores to make it 10-10. And then Hillis Burns hits for 3 points after not had really...
pretty quiet.
Yeah, didn't have... I don't think he had any points up until that point. I think all of his points came...
in that last three-goal stretch. All of
his points came in the game during... like, after the game was tied at 10. So definitely picked up big time and was able to make a big impact in that one. But certainly an interesting game. And, man, Grove City, we talked about them earlier with that Swarthmore team and kind of the magic that they played with and just all this, like, enthusiasm and the way the offense was clicking and attacking matchups and just playing with this, like, freedom, I'll say. Like, freedom to just kind of go at it and be unafraid to make mistakes and play with danger and kind of just find that line. And definitely continued in that one. And like we said, WNL ends up making enough plays down the stretch to pull it out. And now they're quarterfinal quarterfinal.
There we go. All right. In our last game on Sunday, we saw a great one with RIT and Babson, where RIT took it pretty handedly 20-9. I was really impressed with their offense, of course, as I always am. But this time it was really defensively too, where they stepped up and they brought a lot of pressure, which I was pretty excited about for them. Haven't seen too much of that from this season, so excited to see it here. But Dan, I know you caught most of this one, so what would you take away here?
Yeah, again, I feel like the athleticism gap here, RIT just bigger, faster, stronger.
Yep.
And imposed it. Offensively for them, they were able to kind of expose that and win matchups. And gosh, this midfield, when they're clicking the way that they are in this one, and everything is so organized and polished, and they just all understand exactly where their movements are and their reads and their looks. And to that point, it results in a million players having multiple points. Mm-hmm. So definitely was interesting for them. Defensively, you have two guys really show out with Joe Camp and Taylor Jensen. Yep. I lied. Jensen had 1 point. Camp had 2 points.
There we go. But a combined three is still very impressive.
For sure. And then keeping this combined 10 ground balls and six caused turnovers as well.
Oh. That's...
both on 5 and 3. Nice and even for you.
I like that. Yep. Very impressive then.
So super impressive there from those guys. And you mentioned it. The pressure was imposing, and athletically they were able to do so and not really have to worry too much. And then, like we said, Babson, great season, new MAC champs, lots of guys on the offensive side of the ball that can make some noise and rack up some goals. Will Spangenberg, I believe, goes down as setting the school's program record for points in the season.
Okay.
Could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
What up, Will?
So definitely a great season, like we said, for them.
Love that. Yeah, shout out Will. And now we're going to see RIT be on the move for like the first time in this sort of setup. It's kind of weird for them not to be hosting, but they're going to be on the move and headed to Middlebury Saturday, where they're going to... Close.
You're close to being correct, but incorrect.
See, I was confident. I was feeling myself that time.
You're right that they're playing Middlebury.
Yes.
But what are the two sites left?
They're going to be playing it in Tufts.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, wherever Tufts is.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Do you know where that's at? You don't know where Tufts is?
I'm going
to
guess.
You know where it is. We talked about this. I might be going there.
Oh, yeah,
we haven't revealed this. I'm very much so on the fence. It's currently Wednesday at like midnight, and I still am on the fence on if I'm going to end up going up to Boston or if I'm going to go to Salisbury or what to do for these matchups. Quite frankly, like, the northern matchups drive my interest way more.
Yeah.
But the idea of going to Salisbury versus going to Boston
sounds way better.
It's so much easier for us.
Yeah.
So much easier from where we are, like a million times. But I also want to do, you know, get excellent work, which becomes hard to do when you're driving 10 hours one way or another.
Yeah.
So
you got to think about quality of work.
Yeah. So I got a whole slew of things to have to figure out here.
Yeah. Lots to think about. But end of the day, hardest working man in D3.
I'll get it done, baby.
He's sitting in the dog kennel right now as we speak.
You know it.
Love it. So you want to touch on a couple of the statistical players of the week here before we review what we got coming up this weekend?
Got to do it. Got to hit some of our
some of our statistical players here.
Our underappreciated homies.
Yeah, yeah. All from teams here that are now out of the tournament. So we'll bring them to you here now. So statistical player of the week brought to you by Papa John's. Papa is here for you, just like these players are there for their teams.
And the Papadillas were here for us.
And the Papadillas were in our tummies as we speak. They're delicious. I personally prefer the Cool Ranch Dorito one. It's brand new, $2 off. Go to the app and check it out. It's great. But first statistical player of the week, gotta go for me personally. It's William McCumsky.
Ooh.
Crushed it for Geneseo. Yep. Came out 8 points, 6 goals, 2 assists. 2 assists, and most importantly, 0 turnovers against Amherst. So, you know, game didn't necessarily go the way they wanted it to, but great job by William, and great plays there.
All right, and I'm going to go Stevens. Jack Savarese, 8 points, 5 goals, 3 assists against Kenyon.
Mm, you talked about him earlier.
Yep, hit on that. And again, definitely was a big piece of the puzzle there for him, and had an awesome day on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah, good points there. I'm going to go with a guy a little close to home for me, with a York boy, actually. Yep, I'm going to go with Brent Blackman.
He did have a good day.
He really showed out. He had 5 caused turnovers and 4 ground balls on the day. And that was against, that was not the Tufts game, was it?
Yeah.
That was the Tufts game. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, it was the Tufts game. He was all
remember,
over.
We picked the losers. They would have beaten Cabrini.
I know, you're right. You're right, yep. But, yeah, still showed out, got the ball on the ground, did what he could there. So, great plays by him, and I'm really excited to see what he has moving forward.
And then we're going to cheat. We got a couple extra guys here.
Yes, we do.
But we'll go face-off guys to round it out.
Okay.
And then we got the face-off unit from Kenyon. We mentioned that Stevens game already.
Yep, we're taking the whole unit.
On the other side of the ball, Kenyon, face-off unit, you had Thomas Nelson go 21 of 26 with 17 ground balls. And then his partner in crime, Will Jordan, went 8 for 8 with 6 ground balls for 100% day. And that was against Stevens all right there in the same matchup. So
nice.
Definitely some interesting performance there. And then Will Jordan, fun fact, somehow related to Matt Kinnear.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Michael Jordan for a second. I thought would've that would have been really cool.
Would have been way cooler.
Yeah, McAneer is cool.
Also
but
very cool, but yes.
Yeah. 1 and 2 right there.
Bingo.
1 and 2. Yeah, well, if I have to round it out, I'm going to pick one other face-off guy because the face-offs were just so clutch this weekend, and that's got to be Nicholas Kopp. You know, he went 81%, 22 for 27, along with 12 GBs on the day.
Yeah.
So he's actually absolutely crushed it.
That was actually part of the reason that I thought Amherst might
be able to
upset the old Seagulls.
Yep.
Was I figured they would have face-off success, which they did.
Face-off success and good shooting.
They did have the face-off success, but weren't able to either make the most of it early. Or, you know, on the other side of it, just couldn't keep them off the board.
Yep. Very well said. Yep. So those are our players of the week. Dan, you want to preview the upcoming weekend? We got just a nice short little preview here before we get the people on their way.
Yep. Let's do it. We got 2 different sites. Like we said, we're going to have a Boston site being played at Tufts. We're going to have a Salisbury site over on the Eastern Shore. And then in those matchups, we're going to have Tufts and Lynchburg kicks things off, followed by RIT and Middlebury. And then on the other side, we're going to have Salisbury and WNL with CNU and Dickinson. And CNU Dickinson is going to be a rematch. Tufts Lynchburg is going to be a rematch. And then our other two are both unique matchups. So we have a rematch in each site and a unique matchup in each site.
Yeah.
Let's do quick pick 2.
Okay.
Take your Panera pick 2, and then I'll talk about the other 2.
Okay, Panera pick 2 right here.
Yeah, which is your appetizer and which is your main course?
Okay, all right. If I'm warming up for the meal here, I'm gonna warm myself up with a little bit of CNU Dickinson.
Ooh,
yeah, really love that face-off specialist goalie.
The Cabanis McKee, and then the Cabanis. And Hanway versus the McKee and the Brandow.
Yep. I think those are going to be two great matchups I like that we're going to see.
That's a good take.
Yep. It almost was my main course, but had to downgrade it to the appetizer because I think RIT Middlebury is going to be electric.
Yeah, that would be my main
deal.
That's
your main course.
Even if we went to a restaurant and we would do the cliche, like, hey, I was going to order that. Like, we would just order the same meal.
Yeah, exactly. And we would absolutely love it.
And it'd be fine.
Yeah, it'd be delicious.
We'd do it like men.
Yeah, yeah, we would.
But just for the sake of it, I'll hit on the other two, eh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
well. Fine. Let's not move on from it too fast. It's both of our favorite matchup of the or most anticipated matchup.
Mm-hmm.
What has you most looking forward to it?
To the RIT Middlebury?
Yeah,
I think it's going to be really high scoring. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to see some great riding. We're going to see some great goalie play, some great transition play. You're going to kind of get a little bit of everything in this game. It's going to be awesome to watch. And I think it's going to be one D3 matchup that's going to go down in the 2023 history books as being one of.
It has like you know how earlier we talked about like oh that's definitely a historical matchup between Salisbury and Cabrini.
Yeah.
Again, I kind of feel the same way. No idea if it's true or not, but more importantly, it's just got this like Southern rivalry ring to it, which I can kind of get down with.
Yep, I agree with you there.
I definitely think it's a clash of kind of styles where I think WNL is going to be okay kind of running and pushing the tempo. And I think they're going to have to do it. I think if they show up there and just kind of go and play them in this like 6-on-6 battle, I think Salisbury wins.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think they're going to try and go and like, I won't say muck it up, but I think they're going to try and speed them up. I think they're going to try and get out in transition and kind of hit them a little bit faster than perhaps teams really realize.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And so, then that's gonna leave me with Lynchburg Tufts as my main meal, eh?
Well, if you don't want it, I was thinking maybe we could do our bet of the week on this game.
You want to do Lynchburg Tufts as the bet of the week?
Little bet of the week action.
Well, my friend, you do get to set the line,
which means
you get to pick the bet, so you don't need my permission to make it this game, even if you wanted the permission.
All right. Well,
you don't need it.
I'm taking it then. Taking it. Game of the week.
Wow.
Tufts Lynchburg. It's going to be 8.5.
8.5.
Yep. Who do you want?
Tufts to win by more than 9?
Yep.
Or Lynchburg to win by, or Lynchburg to lose
by
less
than 9.
Less than 8.
8. Yeah. 8.
Lynchburg to lose by less than 8 is way more fun than Tufts to win by
9.
More than 9.
But that's more likely if you look
probably
at the history.
Probably is more likely.
Yeah.
But it's way less fun. So let's do the other one.
Okay, so you're going Lynchburg. Cover the spread.
Let's say Lynchburg, but I'm going to talk you up to 9.5.
Whoa. Wait, how are you going to sell me?
That is, I don't plan on doing much else than what I just did.
You're great coverer of the sport. Maybe not the best salesman.
Yeah, that's
but
probably not a unfair statement.
But because of all you do and everything you do, I will take your 9.5 points.
Okay, yep. So at least then it becomes double digits that I'm picking.
Yes.
All right, Lynchburg to lose by less than double digits.
Okay,
officially fair. Locked in.
Lock that in. Yes. Bet of the week.
Back end cover, here we come, baby.
Riley Mitchell's going to score like 3 in the last 2 minutes and just knock you over the line there.
That ain't my problem. All right. So I think that will be a little bit of a quick preview there. Some good matchups. Some definitely good like individual matchups there. RIT Middlebury, I think, is packs a million different fun pieces of the puzzle. I think two teams that definitely will be okay with pushing the tempo. Two teams that are going to ride really hard. Two teams that have poles that can really handle and push transition.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that. And then let's try and fast forward and put ourselves into the mind of it's Saturday night and these games have already played out. What is your expectations for who's left?
Oh, all right. Well, I can see it kind of going one of two ways. But if you're just asking me who's taking the cake,
it's who I'm asking.
That is what
very specifically.
It's going to be Tufts Salisbury.
Tufts and Salisbury left on that side.
Yep.
Okay. And how do you feel about the other side?
Well, like Tufts and Salisbury will be playing in
the... Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, in the championship.
All right, you're getting ahead of me then.
Oh, I jumped the gun.
Who does Tufts beat to get there?
Oh, okay. Tufts beats Middlebury.
So you think Middlebury's going to beat RIT?
I think they pull it out. Yep. Oh, wow. Okay. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, yep. Good game, though.
Yep.
All right.
I like it.
And then CNU Dickinson, where's your instinct?
That's going to be a real tough one. I think CNU pulls it out. It's going to be tight.
So you got the semifinals being two games, conference. two triple rematches.
Yes.
Because they played regular season, they played conference championship games against each other, and now this will be NCAA playoff game against each other.
Correct, yep.
Four teams, two conferences.
So my heart tells me at that point that like it's going to be Salisbury and Tufts. Or no, my brain tells me that. Like,
yeah.
Salisbury and Tufts is going to come from that.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's played a lot of lacrosse and been around lacrosse, it is very hard to beat a team three times in a row.
Is that true?
I know it is true because when I was 9 years old playing Falston Rec, Kelly Post beat us twice in the same season by 10 goals. And then we played them in the playoffs, beat them in overtime.
Wow.
Yep. Absolute stunner. So three times, it's hard to beat a team.
Okay. Yep. I'm told.
Yep. Right there. That's all the evidence you need.
Yeah, I don't know that... I need to double check on it, but I don't know that that is actually true. We did see last year that happened with Dickinson and Gettysburg, though.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So perhaps that could happen again here in the D3 world.
Yep. We'll see. My brain does tell me it's going to be tough Salisbury, though.
All right. So if you have to pick a side that's more likely to have an upset between the two once you get to semis.
Oh, it definitely is CNU over more likely Salisbury.
To beat Salisbury than Middlebury is likely to beat.
Yes.
Or RIT.
If RIT does make it against Tufts, not more than I see CNU beating Salisbury.
See, I see RIT as the team that's most likely to be...
Really?
To land the upset. You have all the experience factor. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of guys that have been there. You have the familiarity... You have the familiarity factor, right? Like, and they won't have this, like, fear, you know, either. Like, they've already beat them twice... Beat them each of the last 2 years en route to winning the national championship. So, like, RIT of the teams left, I feel like, against a Tufts or a Salisbury is the team that's, like, the most likely to be the one that's, like, prepared for the moment.
I feel that.
They may not be the most talented of the group left, but they're probably, like, in coaching, right? Like, they're going to be one of the best coached. And I guess that goes hand in hand with saying the statement prepared for the moment.
Yeah.
But again, best coached and then experienced players that are potentially going to be, you know, ready to handle whatever is waiting for them in those tense moments.
Thrown their way. Yep. Yeah. That's a good call out. I like that. All right. Anything else on these before we kind of close things out here?
Gosh, no, I don't know that I have anything super specific. Lynchburg back against the wall.
Mm.
Keep it under double digits, baby.
For Kaplan's sake.
Yeah, what about you? You got anything super... Do we have a big dogs, big take segment here waiting for us?
It's not really a big take. It's just more of big dogs. You know, great season for both my teams.
Yeah.
York and Amherst both get knocked out in the Sweet 16. So, you know, now I have no rooting interest in the tournament anymore.
Yeah.
JK, I'm all Hornets.
Yeah.
Even though I'm betting against you,
yeah.
If like I had to pick one team to win it all, like personally
right,
for
it's
myself.
It's one of those ones where it's like I lost the bet. Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If Lynchburg actually comes back and wins the whole thing, like I would love it. So go Hornets, personally. And then yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Any conclusions you've come to or anything?
I don't think that I have any like major overarching thoughts other than like just been a heck of a ride this season. Been really fun D3 year. Not obviously done yet. We still have four more matchups to go here this weekend.
This time next week, we will know who's in the championship.
Yeah, we'll have that.
We'll be
settled.
Talking championship matchup.
Yep. We'll also have a few things on the dock for next week's episode.
Yeah.
We got... a very important episode to talk through. By that point, we also will have released or we will know to be able to talk about them, whether they've been released yet or not. But we'll have D3 All-Americans.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we will have the first ever episode of the D3 Lax Potties. We get to give away some awards, huh?
Yes.
Yep. I think that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think that should be electric.
Yep.
So, yeah, looking forward to that. So, next week's episode is going to be a big one.
Yep. Yep. Be ready. Tune in. And it's going to be a great time. I can't wait. Till then, though, you got some awesome lacrosse to keep you at bay over the weekend. Make sure to tune in. Check it out. Go see Dan in Salisbury because he's not going to be an idiot and drive 10 hours to Boston. But we'll see. Still, time will tell. He's got that smirk on his face, so you never know. But it was great chatting Lax with you. Dan, anything else?
Always is. Big Dong, I love you. Listeners, I love you. I'm raw with emotion after all my teams. All my nephew's season ended tonight. My season ended earlier in the week. I went to the MIA semis last night. Happened to run into one of my club kids right after his season ended. His career ended. He was senior. So I'm raw with emotion for the boys. Time to let it all hang out. Give yourself one more week with your squad. And if you do happen to go out, take the experiences, love up on your boys, create a burner account, and start tweeting about D3 lacrosse.
Love it. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Boom.
Love it.